Blog Talk Radio.
All right, everyone, you're with Dr. Harris, Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter show here on the West Coast. You hear me on the West Coast? And we just want to say good evening to everyone. It's been a long day. My day starts 4 o'clock in the morning, but I am committed to the show, and I'm going to do what I need to do to make sure that we connect with our people, connect with our children, bring consciousness everywhere. And I'd like to give a shout out to my sister Denise. Love you. I ain't seen you in a while. You live right around the corner. I don't even get to see you that much. But you know, if you need me, I'm right there. You know that, Denise. All you got to do is just holler. Just holler and I'm right there. But yeah, so it's been a long day for me. You know, we want to give a shout out to Sister Ingram. She's going to be burying her daughter tomorrow, which is very unfortunate. You know, she's a strong sister. You know, she's a strong sister. And, you know, none of us want to lose our children. But at this time, Sister Ingram has lost her daughter, her oldest daughter, to cancer. And if you don't mind, like to have a moment of silence just for the family. The funeral is tomorrow at 1 o'clock. I will be attending. Will not be doing the actual eulogy, but I will be there in support of our sister and the family. And I know it's been really, really tough on her and everyone, you know, people in the community. Dora Lee's, I believe, a 6 or 7 year old son, and she loses she leaves a six-year-old son, and I believe a 5 year old daughter. So as a community, family, you know, it's our responsibility to support and help much as we can. I've been there much, you know, with her on this journey. We also have Pastor Solomon, who has passed away as well. There'll be a tribute to Pastor Solomon this Friday at New Kingdom Church, asking those that knew him come out, say some positive things or, you know, things that you share with him. I know we don't like hearing the word death, but we're all going to cross that bridge one day. And so, you know, meanwhile, we just hope that we do all we can now to be able to build consciousness, power in our community. And so if you don't mind, I'd like to, you know, do a moment of silence for Sister Ingram as they get ready to lay her daughter to rest tomorrow at 1 o'clock. You're with Dr. Harris, Black Lives Matter Show. We're here once again. I just want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. I said we was going to start our radio show. We got a lot of good, positive things coming up real soon. We have Sister Eileen with the Black Priesthood Summit. I hope I said that right. I'm tired, y'all. But, yeah, this is the Progressive Black Summit. I want to make sure I represent. Hey, Tanya, good to see you. Sister Eileen, give a shout-out. She's on the line. Fanny, thank you. Sister Denise, Queen. And this show tonight really is all about women. And so, you know, I got to push our women. You know, I just, you know, some men, they get intimidated when they get around a strong, conscious woman. You know, and I always say that the woman has a space at the table, too. You know, shame on those men that, you know, think that our women are only good for having babies and cooking and cleaning toilets and all that. If it hadn't been for the Black woman, there would be no men, straight up, you know. And so, you know, even the church that I attend, you know, women are treated equal. They can preach, teach, do everything we do. You know, so I just think that tonight's show, I was kind of like, you know, bouncing stuff around. What are we going to talk about tonight? And it just popped on me. You know, can you name a powerful Black woman? I mean, man. So we're going to get into that a little bit. You know, we had the recall last night or what have you with, like, Newsom won. Maybe we'll get a little bit of that conversation. And, you know, one of the things that I, you know, listening to the radio today, Black people, Black women, really turned out at polls, ballots or whatever they, you know, turned in. And so I think Black folks really, really voted yesterday all over California. And what does that mean for us? You know, I mean, politicians always get our vote, but what do we get back in return? You know, our communities are dilapidated, you know, jobs, we can't get jobs, but yet everybody coming in our community building stuff, but yet we don't own nothing. And if you don't own nothing, then, I mean, what's really the purpose? Because everybody else owns things around us. This shirt I have on was given to me by a good friend of mine for my birthday. I don't know if you can see it too good, but I can't even read it because it's upside down. But see, I think one of them say think or something. I don't know. But anyway, I want to show off my shirt today. Thank my sister for giving me this shirt for my birthday. I really like it. It's a fist. And you all know that I love that fist when I march. Even when I preach and teach, you know, I put my fist up in the air because that's the power that I have. And so we're going to go to the lines right now. 3205. I just want to welcome everybody to Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter show. Dr. Jean Kennedy, I believe, is in the air heading to Europe. I'd like to pray for her safety as she gets back safe when she leaves Europe. She's going to go ahead and go to Atlanta, Georgia, where her daughter is. But we'll be in contact with her on Zoom. And so a lot of good things is getting ready to happen from my perspective. Building power, building consciousness, is fun to me. But let's go to the lines real quick, 3205. If you all want to call in, just say hello. I appreciate it. I'd like to hear your voice. I'm just going to roll for an hour because I got to get up 4 in the morning again. 516-453-9086. I'm just really looking forward to
the
every time I get on the radio, folks call. I'm on my show tonight, trying to do a quality show for y'all. I got folks calling. Okay, anyway, that's the way it goes. I was going to the lines. 3205, welcome to Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter show. Talk to us tonight.
What's happening, Doc? What's happening? What's happening? What's happening? What's happening?
Oh, my main man. That's right. I call my man the Black Panther Man. Brother Bullock, you be holding it down, y'all. How you feeling today,
man,
brother?
Hey, you know what? It's all gravy. I'm still sucking air. I'm still above ground. We still doing this thing here. One more day, one more game. We going to make it happen. So, as everybody knows, the recall, Newsom got back in. I heard you speaking about black votes, but I'm going to just be honest and say this up front, all right? Look here, y'all got to start going to the polls. Quit saying that you need to get out there and get out there. No, that's on the real.
Right.
See, we
that's
talk
right.
a lot of drag. We talk a lot of drag, but then when it's time to make our voice heard, we find every excuse we can not to do what we do, but then we want to sit back and complain. How you want to complain, but you don't want to get out there and vote for what you need. Let's just keep it real. You can't throw rocks if you sitting back chilling.
Right.
Now, if you can jump on Facebook and talk drag with your friends about somebody else or the latest gossip, you can do all of that there. But when it comes to improving your likelihood, you want to stand in the background and be like, well, they not giving us nothing. Why somebody got to give you something? You need to work for it. Come on now. We know what we need to do. Let's do this the right way. But also heard you mention strong black women. Hey, as a black man in America, a lot of us have plenty of strong black women, not only in our families, but, hey, we've had Sister Shirley Chisholm, Barbara George. We've had some sisters come down the pike, Angela Davis. We've had some sisters come down the pike that has taken care of business.
Right. Right. And doctor, even today, I could spit some names out to you, Allie and Reed, real soul, real sister, what I'm saying? She's on the Facebook Live right now. I just want to thank her for all, because, doctor, one of the things that I noticed, and I try to give it a balance as much as I can, that, it's great to acknowledge our ancestors, and we're always going to keep doing that, right? But I think we also need to acknowledge people who are alive today doing positive things in the community, just because they're women don't mean they less than and me, I mean, they teach me. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for a woman. Right, I mean, because we had to be impregnated in our mother's stomach for at least 8-9 months, whatever it is, to then come out into this world. So she kept us safe, right? She fed us while we were in her womb. She was talking to us while we were in her stomach. She protected us all for those 9 months and made sure that we were okay. Inside our mother. And then when we were birthed, there was some still transformation going on, right? Because then our mother, and some mothers do, some mothers don't, that's their prerogative, if they want to breastfeed. Even then when we come out of our mother's stomach, she's still taking care of us, right? As young babies. And then she's nurturing us and giving us that love and that, you know, other side of compassion, right? And so so it's important, the black woman, I always say, have a seat at the table, always. And, you know, and those women that know me know that, you know, don't ever disrespect a black woman in front of me. That, now, if you want to see me, you're going to say, well, I thought he was a preacher. Disrespect an elder in front of me and see what I transfer. I mean, you know, Optimus Prime transformed into stuff. He transformed from he was a diesel, I think. He transformed into a diesel. But understand, you know, all women, right? All women are special, right? But black women, right? It's our job as black men to protect the black woman by any means necessary. You know what I'm saying? So that means that if we have to put our life on the line, right, to protect her, then that's what we have to do, because she is the author of life, right? And so it's you know, so I just want to name, and you can name, you know, you name some already, but I want to name some here. You know, Allie Reed is one. Very powerful sister, right? We had Maria, who has passed on. Very powerful sister, right? We had even my mother, my grandmother, Bertha, right? She is a very powerful sister. Keep going down the line. We got Janice Summer, you know? Very powerful sister, conscious sister. I mean, and the list just goes on and on. You know, Crystal Joyce, very powerful sister here in community. And so, you know, I just wanted to dedicate this show tonight to our women, right? Because they don't get enough credit for what they do. You know, when we looked at what Harriet Tubman did, Harriet Tubman, a woman, right? Underground Railroad, right? You know, she wasn't scared, right? Because the Creator had called her for that time to help our people, right? With the Underground Railroad. Look at Rosa Parks, right? The Royal Mail, right? All it's just to see the extension, you know, to actually talk to our women today. And then know where their heritage comes from, the link, you know, comes from. It's just huge, and I just can't say enough for the black women in our community, not just in the past, but now, all over the country.
Almost sure.
516-453-9086. Anyone want to call in? We're going to be on the show for an hour tonight, just chopping it up this evening. So if anybody want to call in, it's great. We got our main man here, our co-host, David Tony. He also does podcasts. Can you tell the folks about your podcast, Brother Tony?
You know, I put down my podcast, you know, every other day about the plight, different things going on right here in our country. You can find them on Facebook, Twitter, Spotify, Pinterest. You'll find one under the title of the West Side View, and the other one is called the West Side Vision. And like I say, I cover the topics from politics to everyday life. So, you know, should you be over on Spotify and you listen to your music and feel like you want to check out a blog or two, go right ahead. You're more than welcome. But we do put them out there and we cover everything.
Right, right, right. That's very important. And I also want to say this, Doctor. My son, as everyone knows, is from West Fresno. He goes to Southern University in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. He contacted me today and said, Dad, you know, I've been recognized for the 1890 land grant, which is a full ride scholarship. Now, my son is one of the founders of the Fresno Freedom School. So we're building a pipeline from here to Southern, trying to bring resources back to this Mississippi Fresno town, and get our children out of here so that they can, you know, see that there's other areas and part of the world where Black people are running things, that has their own businesses. Here they don't really see that. They see everyone else with their businesses. And so we want to try to change that dynamic that so they can get more exposure to that. And so anyway, my son, tomorrow there's going to be a ceremony in regards to of him receiving this award, which is a big to do. And so I did a Facebook announcement. You can register on there. They're asking folks to register. I put it in a Facebook announcement. It's on my Facebook, so I'm going to be pushing it pretty hard. Hello, Nancy. Good to see you. Megan, thank you. Thank you all for coming in tonight. And it's a big deal. You know, I mean, he's my son, so, you know, I have the right to brag on him if I want to, because I know what I put in him. I put a lot of quality in my son. I put a lot of quality in my Freedom School kids, and because I want them to be the best. And so he wrote me a little statement, Brother Tony, let me see if I can find it. And dads are important, you know. We're important, too. He said, Dad, I don't think I told you how grateful I am for you. I know I don't say it much, but I really do appreciate all that you have done. I love you. And so I wrote back to my son, and I said, Daddy, love you too. I want you to accomplish what I could not accomplish. And so and that's what this life is about, Tony, is for us to want more for our children than we did. You know what I mean? This is 5172. We got someone else on the line. 5172. Welcome to Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter Show. Talk to us tonight. Can't hear. Are you there?
Hey, Rev. This is Eileen.
Hey, can
you hear
me?
There you go. Hey,
see, that's one of our Black powerful women right there. Right there.
That's
just
you.
Call in.
Oh, my
powerful
goodness. That's
Black woman. Revolutionary Black woman.
Be stepping in.
And scared to speak up, Black woman. Speak to the power,
you.
Black woman. Want me to keep going? If I was at church, my organist would be going and the drums would be going. And I said, can I get an amen?
You know, I was listening to all these powerful Black women being named off, and I heard my name, and I was like, you know what? I was grateful, and I'm humbled to be acknowledged. But I just wanted to put my two cents worth in for a couple other people. I wanted to give a shout out to all the sisters who were Black Panthers then and now. Erica Huggins, you know,
yes,
Kathleen Cleaver, all the sisters who stood behind Fred Hampton. carried his child. Not to mention, and in addition to mention the local heroes like Sister Brunette Harris of Heat and the women she works with in that organization, if y'all having land use issues in Southwest Fresno or anywhere in Fresno for that matter, contact Heat and Brunette Harris, because this sister has got it all down on paper, what's going on the west side, things you're not going to hear in the media.
I like to give a shout out to your mom too, Aileen. Your mom is 100 and what?
She'll be 103 next month.
Yes, she will.
Yeah, she'll
Aileen
be 100.
Mother will be 103 years old, y'all. Do y'all hear me on Facebook Live? I wish we had more folk that would tune in tonight. We have an elder in our community is 103 years old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she has never left West Fresno. Never left West Fresno. She's always been here. You know, I mean, she was here when the gunfire was going. She was here when redlining was going. She was here when the police were shooting our children in the back. She stayed here when the rendering plant over here cooking these dead animals still today. Here in West Fresno, she stayed here when we didn't have a shopping center here in this community.
Yep.
Now that's dedication to stay here for 103 years. Now, if anybody wanted to move, she could have moved up north to Woodward Park, where they have the nice little houses and the lake in the back. And do I need to say more?
Yes, she could. She could. But she did not. She held a line for a whole bunch of us. And see, back in the day growing up, this is what a lot of folks don't understand. Back in the day growing up, a lot of us, you know, we have a lot of 80s out there. When we came along, the neighborhood looked out for everybody. Okay? When you was out there roaming them neighborhood streets, wherever you showed out was where you caught one. And that's what the village did. The village took care of you. And the village was mostly them sisters who made sure you handled your business like you was taught, that plain and simple.
Because if you didn't, somebody was going to go tell your parents.
And they're going to tell your parents after they got through dealing with you.
Oh, yeah, but your parents are going to get told, so that means you're getting it twice.
Oh, yeah, you know that was all part of the program.
Yeah, let's talk about our children, how things used to be. You know, if I did something down the street that was wrong, I was corrected on the spot, right? And I was corrected with love, right? And if it was too out of hand, you would get your butt spanked right there on the spot, right?
Exactly.
Am I right? I mean, they would take a tree limb off a tree and wear the back of your legs out. And then they would walk you home and tell your parents what you did. And then you get another. Huh?
That was real. That's how it went down.
That's how it went down.
You're not lying, Rev. You're telling it. That's how it goes.
Hey, that was part of how it went down.
Uh-huh.
You know, back in the day, didn't nobody have no cell phones. So you would be done something, and you get home, and you try to figure out, how did the news of what I did beat me to this front door?
Yeah.
But see, back in the day, people was out there watching. They was looking out. They was paying attention to what was going on in the neighborhood. It wasn't none of this drama of don't speak to my kid, don't say that to my kid, don't do this, don't do that. People were looking out and making sure that everything stayed on an even keel.
Yeah. True.
Well, I heard somebody say it takes a village to raise a child. What happened to our village?
Oh,
That's a hard question because, like everything else, you know, just like the seasons, things change. Where once upon a time, families kind of always lived in the same area and stuck tight. As economies change, things change, people begin to move away, other people moved in. You know, what was once the fabric of a generational, say a generational neighborhood, where generation after generation lived kind of like in the same area, those things begin to change.
Yeah, it's different. And integration didn't help either. You know, people want to move up and move out of the neighborhood. You know, they were doing
right,
that whole
right.
Jefferson thing. And, you know, when I was a youngster on the West Side, you had black professionals, so they were called, who stayed on the West Side. You know, they stayed on the West Side. And the village was able to stay intact. But then you had the generations coming after that. You know, they decided, hey, we're moving across town and all this. But the heart of the neighborhood changed, you know, and it makes it really, really hard when something like that happens, because people don't want to trust that you're talking to your children in a way that's a positive. You know, everybody is suspicious of everybody else, and it makes it hard. But I remember my mom driving down the street. She would see two kids fighting, two boys or two girls. She stops the car and gets in the middle of them. Now, she's 5'3", you know, and sometimes these people are bigger than she is. But she going to get out there and stop the fight. She getting out there to stop the fight. So,
we want to give a shout out to those who Facebook Live. I just want to personally thank you all for taking time out. I know sometimes you can't stay on the show, you know, the duration of the show because you have family and things you're doing, but I just want to say I appreciate you coming, listening to our shows. We're going to be having more shows. We're going to be grandfathering shows to people in our community. You have two of them right here online today, Dr. Tony and Sister Eileen. And but tonight's show is talking about, can you name a powerful black woman? And we have 516-453-9086. Can you name a powerful black woman? We have black women online right now. Thompson, hey, shout out to you, powerful black woman. We got Celeste on the line. Thank you, very, very powerful black sister who is very conscious. Sister Denise, we thank you, my sister, for being on here as well. Sister Eileen, we thank you for being on here and being conscious and doing what you do. I mean, all of us have something to bring to the table, right? And I'm trying to tell our men, there's nothing to be intimidated about, you know, when the women come. I mean, where would we be today if we didn't have any? I mean, think about
exactly.
Slavery. Where would we be if it wasn't for women? Okay, we'd be a mess right now. Because they carry the load.
It's all about working together. And, you know, while speaking of working together, I want to give a shout out to a sister in Florida. She is a co-pastor down in Lakeland, Florida. Her name is Diane Watson. All right? She is the co-pastor of Temple Deliverance Center down in Lakeland, Florida. Her and her husband, Pastor Willie Watson, run a beautiful organization down there. And, you know, Florida is one of the mighty southern states. But these two pastors, and I'm going to tell you, Sister Watson is cold-blooded. I have sat in on some of her Bible studies and watched her in the pulpit on Sundays. And she is cold-blooded. But a sister that can get up there and put it down and deliver it, and she comes straight out that book, it's a beautiful thing. And you talking about strong black, she all about that black family. She's all about the uplifting of the black woman and the black man and the black family. And that is what we need nowadays, folks. That's what we got to get back to.
Right. We want to thank Sister Denise for tuning in tonight. Shout out to her. Fanny, thank you for tuning in. Tanya, I'm just trying to go down the name so I don't want to leave nobody out. What else we got? Nancy, thank you too, my sister. So, you know, we're just at a breaking point right now with everything going on in the country, Hurricane Ida. Now I'm hearing there's another tornado storm coming to hit Louisiana again. The fire out here in California, the floods that's going on. So, you know, then we got the recall thing going on and all that crap. Trump did. Now I'm hearing that Trump supporters are going to be doing another action at the Capitol, I believe. I don't know if it's this weekend or next weekend. And so they're talking about putting up fence, you know, to make sure that stupid crap don't happen again, them storming the Capitol. Sister Sharon, thank you, my dear. I haven't seen you and talked for a long time. She's a very powerful, educated Martinez sister. So, you know, we have the process. Then we got the COVID-19 going on. I mean, as I drive the bus every day, I just see people, you know, laying out on the streets. I had a brother the other day. It was 8 o'clock in the morning. He walked across the street. He didn't have on a shirt. He just kept saying, help me. Like he was patting himself like he was on fire. There's a lot that's going on right now. People are hungry. People are houseless. You know, how do we respond? I mean, how do we respond to all of this? When I found out how much money we as taxpayers spent in Afghanistan, I'm like,
every day.
What? How much?
Right.
A day?
Exactly.
A day. Billing something a day. I'm like, what do you mean a day? I could barely make $100 a day going to work.
And they've been for 20 years almost.
So, you know, we really, like Brother Tony said earlier, politically, everything is political. And we have to get involved. We don't have a choice in the matter.
I was just going to say, this is a great opportunity for black people right now to get involved politically with Newsom holding the line with this recall and then voting that down. Okay, so now we as black people need to double down and protect the voting rights across the country, because if Gavin Newsom had lost, it would have been a domino effect. And the Republicans would have gotten a lot of traction out of that. So let's double down and get politically involved.
Like I said earlier, we have got to stop sitting back and being idle. You must get involved. Stop with this my vote don't count mess, because it does. Like Pastor just said, you know, he was talking about the money he spent in Afghanistan. Think about the $275 million California just spent on this recall.
Mm-hmm.
That $275 million could have went to help the homeless, help feed some hungry children, help feed some hungry seniors. There are better choices to be done with this money. But this is what happens. The Republican Party knows that. This governor is going to have to put this money on the line in order to get these ballots out, in order to get everybody staged, these machines in place, everything done for this recall. And this is the sixth time that the Republican Party has pulled this stunt.
Yeah. And they're going to continue. They're going to continue to do it to erode, you know, the will of the people to want to be involved. And black people, we can't afford that. We can't afford
You know what I'm glad about? When I say glad, I'm actually talking about YouTube. I'm really glad that I'm connected to YouTube, right? Because, you know, YouTube keep me grounded, right? Keep me focused, right? Things that I don't know, you can teach me, right? The fire that you all have, right? The drive, the motivation, you know, the conversations, the organizing, you know. That's the stuff that we need right now, right? Not someone telling us what we want to hear to make us feel good, right? But to really get out of the freaking recliner and quit having a Coke and a smile and get involved in your community, right? Mm-hmm. Because if, like Sister Eileen said, you know, her mom could have sold her house and moved anywhere in Fresno. But guess who would have bought her house?
That's right.
The same community you going
exactly.
in, someone there will come over here and buy your piece of property and don't care about the property. Let them run it down, let drug dealers go in there, terrorize the community, right? But she didn't do that. And now she's 103 years old. She's the oldest, not this other sister I know, but they are our elders in our community, right? And we have to. We have to take care of them. You know, I pointed her brother told me, Eileen Mother to be the general of the Freedom School. We have a picture of all the children at her feet. That's the most powerful picture I ever took, we took for Freedom School. Because you could see the different generations, right?
You know, amen.
Senior generation is 102, I believe, or one she was at the time. Now she's 100. But to see those children at her feet was huge.
She loved that. She loved being with the kids.
Even though she couldn't physically, you know, go out there and plant, just her presence as a black woman, okay?
Yes.
Meant a whole lot to us as young people, you know, and she could tell us the stories. How many stories, Mom? She got tons of stories.
Oh, man,
you know? Alan, what
right
year
there.
Was Mom born in? What year was Mom born in?
She was born in 1918. She was born in 1918, so she was born. Just about 18 years, almost 20 years after the turn of the century.
Right.
Wow. Yeah. 1918. So,
I got to talk, Eileen, about us doing maybe a documentary with Mom, you know, having her talk, you know, because we need her voice, you know, when the Lord calls her home, which we hope... You know, we all get our numbers.
A lot of our seniors, I mean, because they have stories that some of us can't even imagine. Brother Tony was just telling me earlier today that, you know, one of his aunties is 93. And I said, you know what? My mom is 10 years older than her. I'm like, that is mind-boggling. Yes. And I'm sure she got some stories. I'm sure his mom has some stories. Yes.
That's what it's about. You know, it's funny that we talk about these things, but think about it. You know, the other day I was sitting here thinking, and I was one of these cats growing up. I was tight, not only with my uncles, but with my great uncles. I was fortunate to spend time with four of my great uncles. But the thing is, and y'all know this to be true, with the black family, somehow black women always tend to outlive our black men because of what we've been through.
Exactly.
What we go through.
Exactly.
But I have found that the experiences that those senior ancestors provide us with continues to get us through. There are times I wake up and think about some of the things that my great aunts, my grandmothers, my great uncles, my great aunts told me that I now know to be true, how to study yourself, or how to balance yourself in them times when you feel like you can't go no more. One of my great uncles, I always remember when I would spend time with him, Uncle Dan, how you doing this morning? And he would always tell me, hey, my mail didn't get delivered by Groundhog. It's a good day. Exactly.
They knew how
they
to survive.
Let me ask you two a question. We're about at the about 6 minutes before we off the air. I'd just like to thank everybody for coming on tonight. Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter show. We're talking about our topic tonight. Our topic tonight was can you name a powerful black woman? Her name. Can you name a powerful black woman? And we just said over three or four dozens of you know, we didn't even really hit the bottom of the barrel, you know, but we just want to acknowledge our black women and really thank them and bow down to them for all what they have contributed to the struggle, all they have done to keep us little knuckleheads in place as boys, to be able to nurture us, right, here in this country. I mean, because black folks, we done caught hell, and we still catching hell. We caught hell 400 years ago, and we catching hell 400 years later. So it's the same old music, just a different melody. And so, but James Brown's made a song. I just want to get you two perspectives if we get ready to go off in the next 5 minutes. James Brown said, say it loud, I'm black and I'm proud. From your perspective, Brother Tony, what do you think he meant by that?
When James put that record down on wax, he was saying, regardless of the struggles and the strife that they have put before us, you cannot let them break you. He wanted people to know that we was going to get it together and we was going to do our thing. That's why that man said, say it loud, I'm black and I'm proud.
Because
we had been quiet for so long.
Do you think people behind the prison walls were singing that song, listening to that song, and it gave them some sense of being grounded? You know, because when we look at the dictionary, I just got a call this morning, not to change the subject, but from Lady J, and her cousin, her nephew goes to Madera High School. And so we all know Lady J is conscious, and she tries to pass it down to her niece and nephew. And she said that the Latino young men in Madera is calling the black young men niggas. And I said, well, look like I need to go pull my red suit out the closet, I guess. I said, but you tell your nephew that I said, give them young men my phone number and give it to their parents. Because they're 20 minutes from Fresno. And trust me, we will be down with that whole school district. Now, I went to Madera to deal with some racial stuff, Ku Klux Klan, you know, writing on walls and all that stuff. But, you know, black and brown have so much in common in the struggle.
Exactly.
We're not teaching our young men and women about the history. So it's easy because they don't understand the history to say that type of language to our black men.
Right.
If we
That's
would just
right.
sit them down, they would understand that, no, you don't do that.
They obviously don't understand the struggles of their own people and what you know, the similarities of our histories, because if they did, they wouldn't be saying that.
They wouldn't do it.
Right. Exactly.
You're right, Rick.
So, Stanley, we got about 3 minutes left. What is it, from your perspective, when James Brown, during a time of the 1960s, when we had Bull Corner in Alabama, told the fire department to cut on the water hoses. We had Rosa Parks, who decided that she wasn't going to get up. That started a civil rights movement. Shirley Chisholm ran for president. What was during that era? Because I'm going to tell you right now, I don't hardly even hear that song. As a matter of fact, have you ever heard them play that song on 90.1 on the radio?
No. I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think so.
Now,
I
what
really
we
don't.
Do hear on the radio is it's hot in here, take off your clothes and drop it like it's hot and all this other things.
And you know what that is?
When it comes to conscious, that can help build our young people
right.
while they're sitting in a bus and a bus driver driving them home, instead of them trying to take off their clothes and all that, they can be listening to music that can help educate them. But
well,
what did you think about him saying loud on Black on Friday?
When James did that song, remember, we were going through a cultural transition as Black people. At the start of the Civil Rights Movement, a lot of Black people didn't want to be called Black. You know, you
exactly.
call me a Negro, you don't call me nothing at all. So by the time James put that record out, you know, the Black love, the Black culture, the embracing Africa had took hold, and people and the Panthers, and people were proud to be called Black. We were throwing off all these cultural shackles and embracing our Blackness, and that's what needs to happen now. But see, people understand that the hip-hop, and I'm not down on hip-hop, but all these nasty lyrics and derogatory lyrics, that is what sells in this toxic society we live in.
Exactly.
So the music industry made it acceptable to our young men who are very gifted and using words and rhyming and whatever they do with that. But they sold millions, and because tonight we're talking about, can you name a powerful Black woman? But it seems that in order to make money in the music industry, we created an environment, not us, but there was an environment created to call our women the B word.
Exactly.
And making money off of it.
And making money off of it.
Well, another side of that coin is, now you got it.
You call somebody the B word, you better be ready to fight. It's
yeah,
just
back
simple.
In the day, it was on. But see, now all of a sudden, that is a badge of honor. Now you
exactly.
have women like Megan Thee Stallion and Nicki Minaj and a few others, you know, Cardi B, that's a badge of honor. See,
yeah.
What the men used to do, now the women are doing too.
Exactly.
And like you said, record companies have picked up on that and said, well, let's go out there and talk about WAP. Let's go out there and talk about bitches this, bitches that. And let's make some money off of it. You take your cut, I take my cut. The record company gets paid.
And these artists will say, oh, well, you know, we're just expressing our artistic selves, not understanding that they are cultural slaves and they are enslaving others with this mindset.
Exactly.
You know, you play with such a people who don't have the wherewithal to slog through this and come out the other side unscathed. It's terrible.
It's really terrible. And Pastor was saying about educational music or lyrics like James Brown, See, nowadays, they're not trying to hear that.
They're
trying to hear the next thing that's going to sell.
Exactly.
Well, you know, one of the things that, you know, over at the new facility, we have been placed at FAME, Free and Me Ministries, that's one of the visions I have is to, hey, CJ, how you doing? We got Bonnie, all right, save the best for last. We're just talking about, can you name a powerful black woman? That's our show tonight. We're giving a shout out to all the black women. Women, especially black women, for their contribution and things that they have done here in this country. You don't get enough credit, but we're giving it to you tonight. I hope you all accept it. I know it's not a lot. I know it's not like being on CNN and MESN and all this other stuff. But we're Dr. Harris, Black Lives Matter show. But lost my thought there. I'm sorry. What was I saying? Talking about? I just forgot that quick.
You're talking about
me.
Oh yeah. Thank you. I had a senior moment, y'all. You know, the new ministry I've taken over. You know, I really have a strong vision for this ministry, and one of the things is that we want to put in a recording studio, right? We want to put in I want to put in a 24-hour server where we're playing conscious music, we're playing gospel, whatever the case may be. We have a poetry on a 24-hour server worldwide, you know, where we got people like CJ who's on the line. You know, she stays in New York, and, you know, she's spitting it down in New York. You know, we get a taste of that out here on the West Coast because she's on our server. You know, giving people opportunity that probably wouldn't get opportunity or platform to even speak spoken word, conscious rap, you know, things like that. And so it's important to me that we have our own media that we have access to, and no one is censoring what we're trying to do. Okay, then the other piece, so that's one piece with the 24-hour server, right, where we can interview people in other parts of the world. Like Dr. Kennedy will be in Europe maybe tomorrow or the next day. You know, she'll be able to come on the show here, Blog Talk, live streaming. I'm live streaming right now worldwide. So we're getting two for one. Brother Tony has the podcast, right? And then we bring that in so that we can connect with our people through the resources that we have right now. Because trust me, everybody else is doing it. And if they're doing it, we're going to do it. So then we're going to create another segment of this ministry, right, to where we have a YouTube TV where we can bring people in, right, with a nice background drop or what have you. And we can talk to people, right? And then be able to upload and get our children to work with the technology and then, you know, fine-tune it and edit it. And then be able to upload that to YouTube, which is the biggest server, right, that we have. And then also create another piece where we're in the ministry to where the children can be able to work the soundboard, right? A lot of children wants to DJ. I'm working with a brother right now. We're redoing a lot of the stuff there. And I want real DJ stuff there inside the sanctuary, right, to where, you know, it's attracting to the young people. See, that's one of the things that kills me about ministry. You know, you don't have nothing to attract anybody with, right? Now, when we go to the nightclub, why people go to the nightclub? Because it's attractive. They got things there that attract you. So in ministry work, we have to do the same thing. We have to do things, create things, think outside the box, right, to where we can be able to get the minds of our young people. So we got a lot of work to do, but I just think that, you know, creating a recording studio where our young brothers and sisters can come in, learn the knobs, you know, voice, you know, all this voice stuff. And we got King Tut, Optimus Prime, you know, they come in, you know, they spit and they're doing their beatboxing and that kind of stuff. That's what I want to see, right? 7 days a week, right? If the liquor store can be open 7 days a week, why we can't be open 7 days a week? See what I'm saying? So this is an investment into our people. Brother Tony, what is your mom's name?
My mother's name is Anna Jean.
Anna, we want to give a shout out to Anna tonight for being a powerful black woman. We just thank
you. You know, I was going to cover that. But, you know, I will shout out.
Because she produced a very powerful black man, right? And so anything else you want to say before we get ready to go off? We have a lot of people online. Thank you, Young, for tuning in. CJ, thank you for tuning in. We appreciate all of you. So we have a Floyd Harris here. Sherry, yeah, I went through all those already. And so, Brother Tony, what do you tell us all the time?
Hey, each one, reach one, teach one. Those of you who are legally armed, teach your folks how to use those weapons. Go to the range. Get them set up right. Everybody, and I say this all the time, keep it together. Look out for one another. And for those powerful black women, Rose Thomas, Anna Jean Bullock, Lizzie Hall, Dorothy Washington, Victoria Lowe, love y'all. Love all of y'all. And I'll holler.
All right, Sister Ali. We saved the best for last.
Well, I'm speaking for the sisters now, for my mom, Corrine, my sisters, Mildred and Barbara Reed, and all the sisters who have listened tonight. And we thank you all, both, and all the brothers for this love letter and for this shout out. And I also want to say for everybody, stay black till we get back.
All right. Before we end the show, Sister Aline, can you tell us about your event coming up?
Excuse me. It's the Progressive Black Summit for Fresno 2021. It's going to be a virtual 3-day event starting on October 28th. We're going to have Dr. Caroline Collins, and she is going to talk a little bit about her podcast that she produces, We Are Not Strangers Here, about the African-American experience in agriculture in rural communities here in California. And so that's going to be on Friday, October 28th from 6 to 7, and there will be a Q&A after her presentation. On October 29th, my mom's 103rd birthday, we're going to have the film Arc of Justice, and it's going to be running for, it's a 20-minute film, but there's going to be a Q&A afterwards. That's on October 29th, and on the 30th, we say the best for last, Jemai Hargens, founder of Crop Swap LA, who is an urban farming entrepreneur and just an all-around solid progressive black brother, is our keynote speaker. And he is a powerful person related to our ever-intrepid Reverend Dr. Floyd Harris. And he is going to be anchoring our keynote speech on October 30th. So it's a 3-day event. It's all virtual. There are going to be flyers online, and he's going to be speaking from 10 to 11, and people will have the opportunity to ask questions. So we're very excited at Fresno Freedom School to be the sponsor of the Progressive Black Summit. And we hope everybody will tune in. If you miss one day, we hope that you can catch up and participate in one of the other days, because this is important, and we are going to make this an annual event. This year's theme is Food is Freedom. And some of you may know that September
is I think it's called Hunger Prevention Month. And so October, this is a great follow-up to Hunger Prevention. And we hope to see a lot of you online and following this Progressive Black Summit. And hopefully next year in 2022, we'll be able to meet each other in person, maybe with a different theme, maybe with the same theme. But we're going to hold it solid as progressive black folks in the Central Valley. Thank you,
Rick. That's right. Sister Arlene Reed, who is the founder of this Progressive Black Summit that's coming up here in, I'll call it Mississippi, Fresno. But I'm at the, a lot of people ask me, why do you call Fresno Mississippi? But maybe one day I have a show to educate a lot of you on about why I call it Mississippi. Also, Fresno Freedom School. Hey, Sharon, good to see you. Fresno Freedom School, we are now in the process of clearing out old vegetation. We're in the process of getting ready to plant our winter garden on our farm in three different locations. We're farming also in the hood. We're using backyards. We're using front yards, buckets, whatever, top of the roof, your house, whatever it is. But we're going to feed our community, period. Okay, we're tired of going to the store, buying all these vegetables that has pesticides on it, tired of seeing how people get cancer and all this type of stuff. And so we're grabbing the bull by the horn. We unapologetic about it. If you want to roll with us, that's fine. If you don't, it's still fine because our boat is going to leave the dock. You can stay on shore if you like. We'll wait at you as we, you know, get ready to sell out. But the bottom line is right now is that we're in a time zone right now where we have to liberate ourselves, right? We have to do true liberation. And eating, right, has a lot to do with how we think. Let me say that again. Eating has a lot to do with the way how we think, right? And I keep telling people, you know, if you eat junk food, you're going to feel junky, right? If all you do is eat ice creams and potato chips, that's who you are, ice cream and a potato chip. That's going to mess your mind up, okay? So we have to take more responsibility for our health, okay? Trust me, I struggle with it too. But it's called discipline, right? It's called discipline. Now, I don't want to see us getting our toes, you know, cut off. I don't want to see us getting our limbs cut off, right? Because we have the power to change that right now. And that's what the Fresno Freedom School is about. We're about true liberation. Okay, we educate, motivate, energize, organize, and mobilize, and take our youth to a higher level. That's what we do. My son right now, tomorrow, I don't know if I talked about it. I guess I did. I'll say it again. He just received the 1890 land grant. You can go to my Facebook. I just posted it on there. You can register, I believe, to watch the ceremony tomorrow. All these dignitaries are going to be there from the college, and even some people from Washington, D.C. There was only certain kids that got this scholarship, and you really have to work your buns off and prove to the university, the ag department, you're worthy of this grant, this 1890 land grant. Just anybody don't get this. You really have to work for this and put out in the classroom, on the campus.
How many Freedom School students that have gone through Freedom School have gotten this grant?
About 113 kids that went through us to get this land grant. Some of them got their doctorate, some they got their master's, bachelor's, and you know they've been over to other countries, Ghana, doing research materials and things like that. Now my son wants to be a veterinarian, right? And so with this scholarship. His books is paid for, room and board, food. He has an intern in Wisconsin.
Internship.
That internship is paid for. We talking about a West Side young man, okay? He's part of the West Side. Now, you can talk about the old ways and all that other stuff. I'm telling you, he's from the West Side, okay? And he comes back and mentors the other children. To let them know that they can do it too. Because see, we have to understand and be truthful about this. as black people, we have a lot of obstacles, right, that we have to go through, unfortunately, right? But we either through the obstacle, go around the obstacle to the left or to the right, or get it out the way, whatever we got to do. Hello, Pastor Chris. So that we can make sure that our children are successful. I don't accept excuses. Excuses don't get anything done. That's what it's called, an excuse. You just sit in one spot. But Floyd the Third has went out and paved the way for the children that's coming after him to have an opportunity to go to an HBCU college. He's a straight A student, okay? That's why it's important for him to come back and for the children that's here now in West Fresno to see him and touch him and have a conversation with him. We got four kids right now that we're working on right now, preparing them. They're in the seventh grade right now. But there's a lot of preparation has to go along with that. SAT
that's
scores, ACT scores, getting the right courses in class, all this type of stuff that Fresno Freedom School, we are, our board is working around the clock to make sure that these children are successful. That's what we do here in Mississippi, Fresno. And we don't let nobody get in our way when it comes to our children. Because you know what will happen to you? We'll do just like that tank. We will run you over or blow you out the way. Don't mess with our children and don't mess with our elders.
That's right.
So I'm telling you for a fact right now, the ceremony is tomorrow. I put it on my Facebook. I made a Facebook announcement. You have to register to look at the ceremony. This is huge right now for him as a black man right now in the South by himself representing his God, his family, himself, and our community.
Mm-hmm.
Because he cannot forget where he comes from, and I teach him that every day. You cannot forget where you come from.
Yeah.
So we're just excited. I mean, to be a father, I mean, let me read you what he, because some of you wasn't on here. When, and I'm going to say this, I'm going to let everybody go because I got to go to bed. I feel like I got to get something to eat because I haven't ate tonight. My son had wrote to me this evening. I'm just going to tell you what he wrote real quick and let you all go. But thank you all for tuning in. He said, now this is after he sent me the told me about the ceremony, and maybe one day I'll get a chance to kind of talk to you all about what we went through, the hurdles we went through to get him at an HBCU college, and it's going to blow you away. I'm not going to do it tonight, but it's good for you all to know if you have children or nephews that there's a process to get into HBCU. Just don't walk in. So he wrote, he said, "Dad, I do not think I told you how grateful am for you." Now, this is my son sent me this evening. "Dad, I don't think I told you how grateful I am for you. I know I do not say it much, but I really do appreciate all you have done. I love you." That's what my son wrote tonight. And I wrote back to him. I said, Daddy loves you too. I wrote back, I said, "I want you to accomplish what I could not. But Daddy still loves you." And then he went on to say, I asked him, could he come on the show tonight? So, "Dad, I got two tests tomorrow. I'm tired. Maybe a different time." And I said, "Well, you just do your best. That's all I want you to do is your best."
Mm-hmm.
So, as Freedom School get ready to leave the summer crops that we blessed a lot of people and children, we're getting ready for the winter crops. We're getting our tractors and all that stuff greased up and changing tires. I've been doing that all day today. And get ready to teach our children the fundamentals of liberation, of eating. That's our job right now, folks. That's our job. For those of you on Facebook watching right now, for whatever reason, Facebook always put me in Facebook jail because they do not want me playing music. But everybody else plays music. But when I play music, they want to, like, shut me off or something. I mean, I don't understand that. But I'm going to play, like, maybe 10 seconds of this, and then I'm going to have to cut y'all off Facebook. But listen, we love y'all. Come back. Share the show with other people. We'll be back tomorrow. Here we go. Put me in Facebook jail, I know they are.
Can we get our shit?
Well,